EOTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping lives for a better tomorrow.
Procom Voices is your complete resource for finding professional voiceover talent for all types of projects. Radio and TV, flash, corporate video narrations, and more. Here's what sets Procom apart. We give you fast access to professional voice talent from all across the country. Actors and actresses who are handpicked by Procom and experienced in bringing copy to life. And you direct your voiceover session live, by phone, as it's happening, so you can be sure of the results. Start by searching our online talent demos broken down into convenient categories. Or call our casting experts for helpful advice in finding the perfect voice. Once you've chosen one or more voice talents, simply submit your script and book your talent online. Or just call us, toll free. At session time, you'll be connected to Procom by phone patch. Listening in on your session, you'll have the ability to interact with the voice talent you've cast and direct them yourself. Try multiple styles, hear playback, and request editing from your Procom producer to craft the perfect read. We can even connect directly to your favorite local studio via ISDN. Once you're satisfied with your recording, your files are immediately uploaded to our secure FTP site in the format you request, and you're sent a link by email. Procom Voices, top quality voiceovers. Simple, fast, and affordable. Contact us today to get started.
Mr. Boyd, welcome to the Kicker Spot. Mr. Boyd, I'm your host, D'Angelo.
D'Angelo.
Why did I have visual?
I was partying to the break of dawn.
How did I know who recorded the video? D'Angelo.
OMG.
Yeah,
it's kind of sporadic.
So, no.
Okay, I have a better one. Apparently, I'm egotistical when I talk about myself all the time.
Go. What's up, everybody?
G-E-A-N-G-E-L-O.
Welcome to the Kicker Spot. I'm your host, T'Angelo.
Hey, what's going on? You are listening to the best of the Kicker Spot, and I am your host, T'Angelo. Now, tonight's show, you guys, is presented by T'Angelo Live. And as we get into everything, be sure that you head over and click the like button on the radio page. Always grateful for the support. Yeah. Also, head over to T'Angelo.com and be sure to sign up for our email blast. It's the big green button. You can't miss it. Alrighty, now as we continue to hang out here at the Kicker Spot, be sure to grab your drink, maybe a bite to eat. Hell, fold clothes if you want to. But you know how we do here. We maxing and relaxing and chilling at the Kicker Spot.
Matters of the heart. What do you really want out of life? So, you guys, with this part of the show, I usually go over relationship topics, things that deal with you and your partner. And this one kind of does, too, just more indirectly, because we're going to start off working with self. This is something that I personally have experienced recently, which is asking yourself, what do you really want out of life? You know, I mean, it kind of comes from the book I was reading from David Fishoff, who has a book entitled Rock Your Business, and it's a section or a chapter where he deals with what is the end game, you know? What do you hope to achieve with whatever project you're working on? And I was questioning that with myself, and it made me realize, I think a lot of us do that. We go into these relationships or start looking to be in a relationship without even having a great relationship with ourselves or a strong one or asking ourselves questions that we ask of others. And one of them being, what do you really want out of life, right? Okay, so, sorry, I should have breathed a little bit more than the last one. So I want to say this, you guys, before we get ourselves, you know, dug too deep into a relationship, we should really take the time to have a relationship with ourselves and find out what we really want out of life on our own standards, on our own grounds. You know, you should know where you want to go and ensure your new boyfriend or girlfriend, by letting them know where you're going, it ensures that a new boyfriend or girlfriend can decide in the beginning if this is a project they want to be involved with. You know, if I tell you right now that I'm an industry, you know, professional, an entertainment industry professional, I do media, I like to do acting and dancing or whatever, and the new person you're trying to date is telling you that they hate the entertainment industry and don't like going to parties and that type of life, then they just might not be for me because that's my lifestyle. And that's what I love to do. Now, granted, you can be in the industry without all the nightlife, but if you get into the entertainment industry, it is random. It is a hit and miss. It is a lot of finagling. It is so many different things. And if the person can't stand that and know up front they don't want to have anything to do with that, then, again, you say up front, this is what I want to do. But you can only say that to the new BF or GF if you know that's what you want to do. I mean, now, granted, I'm not saying have the answer to life. No, I'm not saying know what you want to do for the rest of your life. We're too young for that because life is always changing. And if you don't have some type of heading that you want to head in, then you don't know what direction you're going in. And when it comes time for decision-making and figure out which direction you want to go in, you won't really know because you don't have any direction. You don't have any goals to achieve. And so for myself, I can say I'm looking to be entertainer, an all-around entertainer who acts, who dances, who does media, and who knows what else my future will hold. But I do know that's the direction I'm going in. So before you get yourself too carried off into a relationship, be sure that you ask yourself, what do I really want out of life? Now, women always want the man to be so well off, and they want them to be, you know, so secure and ready to go. But then themselves are not there. They're not there yet. They're not prepared to know what they want. They're not prepared to answer these same questions. And you want to be ready. You want to figure out what it is that you want to do it yourself. And that means to sit down and figure it out. Now, granted, you're going to school, working on your BA, and you decide to get your BA in medicine. You know, get your degree, not BA, but to get your degree in medicine or something. Okay, so what do you want to do with the med degree, your medicine degree? You want to be a pharmacist at Walgreens? Do you want to travel abroad to Africa and, you know, stay with the pygmies or something? These are things that you want to know early on because it's nothing worse than investing in somebody and then learning later that they decide they want to go to, you know, some other country and go backpacking for like 18 months. And you're like, wow, I can't go backpacking for 18 months. I just got my master's in social work and it doesn't travel to where you say you want to go, Guamania? We can't do that. It's just, no, it's not going to work. Now, at times, this question can be a difficult one, but that's where I have personally built myself, is I know I want to do media, but at times, you're questioning how are you going to get to your goals? What exactly do you want out of media, Tangelo? And that's where the hard part came. I've been wrecking my brain trying to answer that. You know, I am doing well with what I'm doing so far, but this is what I want to do for the next 10 or 12 years. Or, hell, the next 5 years. And what is my end game? The end game means what do I look to achieve with this? Am I looking to achieve a house on the hill? Am I looking to change the world of media? Am I looking to get into the presidency? Where am I going? What am I doing? These are all questions I had to fill myself and ask. And therefore, I thought it'd be good to present the questions to you. Because I know we ourselves are going through kind of the same things. Okay, you guys? So at times, again, like I said, this question can be difficult, but you want to have an idea of what you want to do. And you want to have this idea figured out before you start getting too deep into the dating game and trying to fall in love because you want to make sure you guys are in agreement. Because what if you get with somebody who's just like, oh, I think I want to be a rapper. And you're like, okay, well, that's not too bad. Okay, you know, cool, he'll be a rapper. But now, what does that consist of? That consists of him working and rapping and, you know, working towards that. And then when is it transition to the next? How do you make rapping work if it doesn't go the way you first planned it? Okay, going on tour with Jay-Z didn't work. Okay, now what are you doing? Are you teaching in the colleges? Are you going to start your own hip-hop, you know, school? What you going to do? You have to have these things figured out because no one's going to carry you. And I know at the age we are, especially with this entrepreneurs on the move, we don't want to be bothered. We're trying to babysit you. Again, living life and experiencing and figuring out what you want to do, that's fine too. If you're just exploring life, then know that. Say I'm exploring life. And if you're going to explore the life, then figure out what you want to do. I personally explore life. I've done dance. I've done theater. I've done acting. I've done media. I love them all. Lord willing, I will continue to do great with all of them. But if you don't know these answers going up front, I don't know. I don't think I could be bothered. If it came to dating, that's a question I asked you on the first or second date too. So what are your goals or what is your passion? What is your passion? And if I don't see it, I can't be bothered. I don't really have it like that. Okay. So, all right, you guys, that's how I'm gonna say there. Just know what you want out of life. All righty.
Hey, you guys, have you seen the kicker spot? I mean, I'm trying to find a kicker spot. I can't get in? What do you mean I can't get in? I'm T'Angelo. I'm the host.
The kicker spot. When you are looking for the latest, the freshest, and the biggest stories in Hollywood, TOTM Blog is a site to visit.
But there's also a clip of me on the red carpet when I call one who the wrong name.
Ooh, yeah. The kicker spot, kicker spot, kicker spot, kicker spot. The kicker spot, kicker spot, kicker spot, kicker spot.
If you know who you are, my bad. It was my birth. Sorry.
The kicker spot, 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 the kicker spot.
T'Angelo Live on book.
And I'm your host, T'Angelo.
The next best thing to reading is talking about it. T'AngeloLive.com. Celebrities, book authors. Self-help. Celebrity tell-all. Memoir. Celebrity biography. Sports figures. T'Angelo Live on book.
Hello there, Gene. Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Listening to all this intro, it's like watching, going to a movie and watching everything before you get to the movie.
I know.
T'Angelo, where is he? Where is he? I'm listening. You can't have it all. I mean, you can't have it all. No, you can't. Someone's wrong. You cannot have it all, T'Angelo.
I see. You know, well, I just want to make sure I present you in the best manner, and you are now here.
You did it, Marvis.
Well, wonderful. How are you doing this evening?
Well, my darling, I'm trying to interpret your intro, and I love it. You have to remember, I'm one of these people at this age that it says on and off. And internet. And when they say download something, it means empty the truck.
And so then a touch screen is just even worse.
Oh, God, yes. Don't ask me. Don't ask me to record and go back and stop frame, freeze frame. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, a rag doll, I'm just beginning to understand. It does nothing. That's me.
That is so wonderful. I completely understand. I completely understand. Me and my grandmother are great friends, and she tells me all the time, that phone just won't stop making these noises. It's hilarious.
Well,
it's hilarious.
Technology is fantastic, and I understand it, and I love progress. I really do.
Yes.
However, it's like with the progress, the way it's going now in the entertainment field and even in reporting and the various fields. I mean, it's like learning foreign languages all the time. You know,
right.
And if you're not up on it, it's called, what did you say? And then you say, damned if I know.
That is so funny. Mrs. Cooper, do you know how many people have loved Young and the Restless through the years and how over time you have become a part of so many people's family? How does that feel?
Well, sure. Listen, my darling, you know, outside of your own mother, you know, I've been in everybody's face for 40 years, and,
right.
And you either accept me or you don't. They say, you know, that's my mother, my grandmother, my aunt, or what have you. I connect, and people are very supportive, and I've had a tremendous audience over the years. And
yeah.
And God knows I appreciate it. It's like if you didn't have the backing of people listening to you, you wouldn't
right.
be where you're at. And
right.
so you're committed to that. You're committed to trying to please them and not let them down. In fact, give
right.
them something new every time they turn around. With you, it's a lot of electronic stuff. And with me, it's a new switch on and off.
Right. Keep it simple. Keep
so,
it simple.
Having 40 years, it's like, you know, your mother, your grandmother, it's... I mean, I have what? My God, six. I've been in the business since 1952
mm-hmm.
professionally.
Right.
So, you know, that's eons. And something that you can't even think about.
Not
you know,
really. I tried, though. I researched.
I know, sweetheart. I know you do. I know you do. But it's like me coming into your age and you trying to come back to at that other age, all you can do is look at old videos and say, gee, that was terrific. I loved it, you know.
And but, that was a marvelous job you've done.
I love it. You know what? I really love going to work. I love knowing that I've impacted a lot of lives, and I'm committed to that. And I try to motivate them. And
it shows. It definitely shows.
Yeah, it did. And it took me such a long time to write a book. Everybody kept saying, write a book, write a book, write a book. You have so many experiences, blah, 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 stories to tell. And finally,
right.
I said, okay, with Lindsay Harrison, who co-authored. And I said, all right, now I wrote a book. Now shut up.
So, and that, what made you write the book now? Like, why now at this
at
time?
At 84? That's how old I am, you know.
You're
50, didn't you?
I did. I was like, you're not a day over 57. Not a day.
Oh, you
your birthday was yesterday.
Yeah. You know what? Well, everything was yesterday. You know that. As we speak now, it was yesterday. See,
right.
You can have it all. Back to your song in the intro. You can have it all. No, you can't.
You created this character, Catherine Chancellor. When did you realize that you had found something special with that character on this show?
Well, darling, let me put it to you like this. I had a chance to create another human being, one that I could control, such as I could make her dislikable at one moment, I could make her lovable the next moment, and if I didn't like her, I'd pretend I didn't know her whatsoever, which we try to do with our own personal friends in life, and it doesn't work as well. And in the meantime, you're creating this person that a lot of people have become involved with and spend part of their life, grandmothers, mothers, daughters. I mean, I have all generations. I have little kids coming up and saying, I love you, Mrs. Chancellor. And I'm thinking, you know, and that's I get them with my voice to begin with, and then plus the fact that mother makes them sit down and shut up and watch the show. So she can. It's the old thing of, don't anybody make a noise, I'm watching my stories. Don't call me between the hours of blah, 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 blah. Sit down, watch this, or get out of the house.
That was my house. That was my mother. She's like, my stories are on. Don't bother. My stories are on.
Good, I love it. I love it already. I love that kind of discipline. Well, hey, listen, I didn't hurt anybody. In fact, I helped an awful lot of people in so many ways with alcoholism and the and the cosmetic surgery kind of thing. I took the mystique away from that, such as it's okay to go and have your eyes done, that you look better and you didn't have to go away and take a sea cruise and make them. The salt water did not make your eyes look better. A surgeon did.
And how did you come up? Like, what made you decide that, you know, especially in a time where that kind of surgery was very faux pas, it was never talked about?
No. Because you got to remember, sweetheart, there is an age of which you don't remember, your mother would, that there came a time when women at a certain age, especially in the movies, see, I came in on the ass end of movies and the beginning of television, and a woman in movies, when she was 30, was considered, you've had it, sweetheart. You know, you take him. Oh, yeah, but I mean, who put the standard out? I'm darned if I know. But that was it. And so women would go to Europe and have some little nip and tuck done. And everybody say, gosh, gee, you look fantastic. And that, yeah, went on a cruise. All there would make you feel better. There are some people who can't take enough cruises, but however, no matter what the surgeon does.
Oh, my goodness, right. It just doesn't matter. Hilarious.
I just, life is absolutely delightful, and life is full of laughter in times when even at your age, you're facing a tremendous future of trying to survive and bring the country back to where it is and make it right for everybody. That's your chore now, yours and then all young people like you. And, you know, it. When you stop and think that life is not a dress rehearsal. You've got one shot at it. And you've got to step out of the box. You've got to take chances. You've got to try and know that every time, it isn't that you fall down.
Mm-hmm.
It's how you pick yourself up, because that's
right.
how you make your steps forward. It's what you have inside of you that says, I am me. I have every right to feel and to want. And if I'm doing the right things to go about it the right ways, it will happen. You know, it will to everybody. Not everybody's going to be a chief, but not everybody wants to be a chief. A lot of people just like being Indians, you know?
Right, yeah.
Those are team players, and then you have CEOs, you know?
Right.
And good for the CEOs. Good for them. They got all the responsibility.
Right. They're ones not sleeping at night.
Huh? Oh, absolutely. That or they are on a luxurious yacht while you're out there in your canoe without a paddle.
Right, uphill.
Your mother will testify to that.
She would say, you're upstream without a paddle. And as a kid, I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah, you're going upstream without a paddle. Oh, God, yeah. I love it. George Carlin, marvelous comedian, and probably one of my idols who's no longer with us. He used to take colloquial phrases that every kid has heard from a parent or somebody, and sit and go over those sayings, you know, like, as long as you're under my roof, you will do what I say. You're
right,
up asleep without a paddle. You know, all these colloquial sayings. It was great.
Yeah, all those different sayings. I mean,
yeah,
they,
right.
They hold true today. They hold true today. We have a caller for you, Ms. Jean. Everyone wants to talk to Jean Cooper. Captain Chancellor? Definitely. Definitely.
All right.
So let's go ahead and take our first caller. We have, I think, Gloria on the line.
Hello, Gloria.
I think they're trying to connect her. Like you said, technology can be our friend. It can also be our our enemy at times.
That's the whole thing. My on and off switch goes on or off.
Right. See, you were so better. Gloria, do we have you on the line? I said she was unmuted, but okay, well, we work on getting her situated. I have a question. One of the listeners posted on Facebook to ask about you and the character Jill. Why did Catherine and Jill never quite gel very well on the show?
Well, because the thing of it is, in real life, you have that friend that you love to death, but there's a couple of things that you just can't stand about them, but however... you like them so well that you put up with what you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a Jill Catherine kind of thing. It's a love-hate. So that it actually just carries on throughout a lifetime, and it's definitely worked very hard on that relationship of Catherine and Jill. And there's some stuff coming up that is so funny and so delightful.
Really?
I wish I could give it away, but it is delightful. It is funny. It's touching. It's great, but it's that friend that you have that is just, you know, your bosom buddy, and yet you would love to say, if you'd only not do this, but you don't do it. You say it in a funny way, you know.
I'm
terribly neurotic, so
right, yes.
She uses that in the character, and so if Catherine, you know, tells her at times, you know, you know, go get lost. You're not capable of running this. I like you a lot, but you haven't got the brains to run it. And and she accepts those things. She accepts the good things and the bad things, survives both of them, and as does Catherine. But it's a love-hate relationship, which if it were sisters or was one of your other cable shows or something, we'd probably be two lesbians, I guess. I don't know.
In today's time.
In today's time. And there'd be nothing thought of it. But however, no, it's just a great love-hate relationship. And, we're tremendous friends in real life. So we work very, very hard at trying to give the audience something to look forward to when Jill and Catherine get together.
They do. Those two characters always definitely keep us entertained with good laughs and good intense moments.
Yeah.
Good intense moments. I think we have the caller on the line now. Hello, are you with us? I guess they're nervous. Gene, look at how much effect you're having on people. You're making them speechless. Do you always have this effect on people? They get so nervous.
No, they said, so I don't want to talk to you. You tell me the truth.
The truth is awesome. It's scary, but I love the truth. It's usually funny also.
You have something to work on.
Yes, definitely. Gives you something to look at, and you have to, you know, look inside your... You know, people got to point stuff out to you sometimes, so...
Well, yeah, of course. But then on the other hand, there's so many people that go to events and they come to meet Catherine. And, of course, you know, when you take their hand and they start to cry and they get shaky and they just pass out. And I'm thinking, have they come down with the flu? Or they say, I never thought I would ever in my life I'd meet you. And then it makes you, you know what, Dee, it makes you look within yourself and say, the impact that you do have on some people, and I'm a people person, and so consequently, I, you know, I'm not like the Pope who refused to go up on the platform and take his seat.
Oh.
I mean, I'd be happy to walk up the platform, take the seat, and say, here I am, what can I do for you? But it just, I'm a people person, and I like what I see. And I have a spectrum of who we are, what we are here in America, and the empathies and sympathies are there, and I feel the pain because, as in my book, my background, I certainly was not born with a silver spoon in my mouth, but it also didn't affect me, you know, to choose another path. As in many cases, some people have.
And you discussed your family in the book. I mean, your beautiful pictures, might I add, too. I loved the pictures in the book. That was one of my favorite parts, where you actually got a chance to see the characters that you had been talking about so candidly in the book.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I love that one family photograph. And it says...
I love my favorite...
A family, a group trying out for the Grapes of Wrath. Because it goes back to 1929, 30.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, that's almost impossible for you to think. You to think. It's true. I'm serious. The on and off switch. There you go.
Right. I love
there?
It. I totally loved it. And my favorite picture would have to be the back cover where you have the thing. You thought Angelina Jolie invented this move. And
oh, yeah.
I was like...
And how old is
right.
that? I did that when I was 32. 32, and I'm 84 now. That was 52 years ago. Can you believe it? And you know, do you know even when I say something was 52 years ago? I say, Julian, did you just say 52 years ago? It's true. Think
so
about it.
Funny.
Now, think about it when I say 70 years ago, it sounds like I'm in a damn covered wagon with a bunch of Indians surrounding me. I was born.
Not a covered wagon. I love it. So
I'm serious. When you reach a certain age and you start saying, oh, God, that happened 62 years ago, you would say, please, 62. Some people never even lived to be 50.
At first, it
hits you like, my God. And then all of a sudden you start laughing and say, that's wild. That's crazy. That was many years ago. So
and I was actually – oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to mention, I saw you on Ellen DeGeneres, and she has the spoof of the soap opera show. That was so hilarious. You guys are so funny with the slapping back and forth.
Oh,
and you were
God.
Like, well, slap him too to add him into the whole thing.
She, I tell you, Ellen probably is just one of the funniest ladies. I mean, she's kind. God, she's so kind.
Right.
And I had been ill for about 4 or 5 months with, I'd had pneumonia.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear.
And that was the first thing that I did. And, of course, I was weak as a, what, oh, okay, here's what your mother would say, you're weak as cat water. Okay.
I love, you're taking me back.
There you go. And I said, yes, I want to do it because I happen to adore her and what she does. She really is a kind human being, and she is, and she promotes kindness, which is great.
Yes.
So I said, yeah, I'll do it. So Stephen Nichols and I did it with her, and of course, she's just delightful.
Yes, that was awesome.
So I had fun doing it, and they rerun that silly thing all over the place. So
it was fun to do.
I'm glad you saw that. Gee, you've seen a lot of stuff I've done.
Yeah, well, I take an interest, and I also enjoyed the show in my youth, Young and the Restless. But I think we have Jamie on the line. We have a caller, Jamie. Are you with us, Jamie?
Hi, how are you?
Oh, my God, we have a Jamie.
Hello?
Hello, we're just a voice. We're so happy to hear a voice that answers.
Hello, good evening, T, and hello, Miss Cooper. How are you this afternoon and this evening, and how are things going? I'm so excited to be on a call with you right now. I'm just like, wow, listening to your interview. I don't even know what to say.
Listen, no one, pardon me, my voice is trying to go away, but I'm bringing it back. No one is more happy than T and I to have somebody answer when we say, hello, caller, are you there?
Well, yes, I am here. I had a quick question for you. I'm hoping you can shed some light for me. I'm a former professional ballet dancer, and I'm trying to make the transition into acting on soap operas. So whenever I hear anyone doing an interview, especially you, huge, huge fan, even a fan of your son and everything, I'm also a mother, and I'm just curious as to how you made the transition, because I know how time-constraining it is in the performing arts world as far as, you know, with ballet.
Absolutely.
And being at theaters with children. How can I juggle that? Did you ever think you would quit the show in exchange for motherhood, or, you know, can you help
me out?
Well,
I do have three children.
Right.
Hang on. We have a caller on the line. It's a doctor. No, I'm kidding. it's a very difficult thing. See, in 1973 is when I started this show. I spent half of my lifetime on it, which I'd done, you know, I started in features. I actually started on stage, went to features, I've done radio. There's so few soap operas left, sweetheart, that at this point, it would be such a difficult thing because everybody wants to crowd. We had 19 soaps, now we only have 4. So you can imagine the thousands of people that are eliminated. And what we have now, all you can do is, you know, have an agent submit you or send it to a casting agent, an 8x10, and your bio. And juggling, this is the one thing that was, well, I guess I stayed with the Young and the Restless so long, is I was also able to have a life. Because you can do that. Now, unless you're working 5 days a week, sometimes you're working that. Other times you're only working once or twice a week, which is fantastic.
Right. And how did you juggle that with having 3 children and devoting so much time to just even memorizing scripts and being at the set so early and, you know, just trying to have your life outside of your job as well as doing amazing performances on a daily basis, as well as raising 3 children?
Well, the thing of it is that the freedom you have, of course, I've had excellent, I have to say this, I've had excellent nannies as the children were growing up. But when children were getting ready to walk, I would simply say to whoever I was working for at the time, the next month is off. I want to see my child take their first step. I make that very plain before I go to work, you know, or when I'm working. I just didn't want to miss their first step. Now, if they're in daytime, if their graduations, whether whatever grade they're graduating from. You simply say, ahead of time on June, blah, 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 I must have these days off. So what they will do is work you before, maybe 3 or 4 days before, and you'll be pre-taping some of your shows that you're going to do so that that day that you're not there, it's already done.
So you really made the point to make it your priority
that, yes,
that they
absolutely
really allow you to be that parent.
Yes, and the thing of it is, if you're that loyal and passionate about what you're doing for them as an actor or actress, they're very, very good about that sort of thing because they realize life, you know, there are things as graduations and ceremonies and Christmas pageants and what have you. They're very well aware because they also have children or grandchildren going through the same thing. And I must say they're 10 times more lenient than of you. Like if you're doing a stage play and your child is doing something at night, tickets are sold on to see you perform, as with the ballet. If you were dancing and you're a ballerina, they're not paying to see Gladys Jones dance the part. They're paying to see you dance the part, so you don't have that. You don't have that space to say, "My child is graduating," or "My child is in the Christmas play, and I want to see it." You can't go dark. Whereas in daytime, you simply can pre-tape or post-tape a show, and that we have that leverage to work with. And so, if you have, you know, I had a nasty divorce, which I didn't take up
haven't
much
we
money.
All.
There you go. I see what you're asking. But from ballet to that, it's a tough one, darling. But now, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Riverside, California.
Okay, Riverside. So you're here. What you have to do, sweetheart, is get some 8x10s made up, submit them to YNR, submit them to Days of Our Lives, submit them to General Hospital. And that's Days, General Hospital, YNR. There's one more left, isn't there? Come on, there has to be. Don't tell me there's only three of us left. Bold and Beautiful. And submit
yeah,
that to the casting director.
Well, I will definitely do that, and thank you so much for all of the advice. And on behalf of all of your fans, we just want to say thank you so much for hiring those wonderful nannies to take care of your babies so you can bring us all, Miss Chancellor.
But I was still hands-on.
We absolutely they grew up absolutely wonderful. We love Corbin here. I mean,
yes,
you know, we're just huge fans of the whole family.
He's a hoot. He is a hoot. I love to watch Corbin work. He is a hoot. But
thank you so much
for the compliments.
Thank you for calling, Jamie.
Sure. Thank you so much. And I know I will work with you one day, and I'll have to remind you of this conversation. And thank you very much, T, for hosting Miss Cooper.
I love you. We'll both say thank you at the same time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Jen, you mentioned your nasty divorce. With the rise in your book, you were very candid and very giving of yourself with the rise and fall of that. I want to know, what was the straw that really broke the camel's back? After 20 years of all the rigging and roar, what happened if you finally said enough is enough?
Let's see. His girlfriend called me up and said, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, he hasn't paid anything on the apartment in the last 3 months. And we've ordered furniture, and he hasn't paid for that. And I said, well, sweetheart, I don't think he will. And so I don't think he's going to. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you're not the only one. He's also been seeing your girlfriend. So,
right.
Anyway, I called him and I said, the bank is now closed.
Well, there you go.
That's
the new quote of the week.
Put them in his office, and there they were. The house was closed, and that was it.
The bank is now closed.
The bank is now closed.
I love it. I think we have Gloria on the line finally. Gloria, are you with us?
Are you kidding?
I sure hope so.
Yes, you made it.
Oh, my God, Gloria, we thought you were lost.
I felt lost. And yes, I was restless.
Well, hello, my dear.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. It is so wonderful to talk to you, Mrs. Chancellor, a.k.a. Jean Cooper.
Listen, I want to tell you something.
Yes.
People call me, they'll say, Miss Cooper, I'll be somewhere, and they'll say, Miss Cooper, I'm not paying attention. They'll say, Mrs. Chancellor, and I'll turn around and say, what? 40 years I've been this other character so long, and it's been dominant that every once in a while I forget my name is Jean.
Wow, too funny.
Yeah, but however, it's been a grand, grand 40 years of it. In fact, that's what we're celebrating this week is 40 years of the YNR. That
wow. Well, you know, I was listening to the show, and the host mentioned his mom, how she would say, don't bother her soaker. I can so relate. I can even go back further than that. I was a freshman in college, and I remember setting my schedule around Young and Restless.
Yes, indeed.
All my children and General Hospital. So I'm a soapy, like kind of like the Star Trek Trekkies. I'm a soapy from way back. My
absolutely, and I've got UCLA, USC, name it, started giving classes in direction, playwriting, and various things. In order to fill up classes, because they would schedule their classes around YNR, so they would watch YNR, and that was part of schedule. Yeah, and that was amazing. What it did to college life. The college ones. That's from Yale down to Northridge, for God's sake. Arrange classes around the show.
But see the power that you have.
Yeah, you know what, Gloria, I tell you, it does have a lot of power. And that's the one thing that I realized after being it. I only planned on being on the show for 3 years because everybody knows I get very bored, especially if I'm playing a character over 6 months, like on stage. I want to move on. Mm-hmm. But I realized the impact that what I do, only because somebody watches a show and they become involved with characters, and that's what it's all about, the story it tells and the direction this character is taking. And you form a relationship with this character. Mm-hmm. And I realized how committed, especially in the alcoholism one.
Mm-hmm.
I had to play that straight. To this day, people come up and they'll shake my hands and I'll feel something in my hand, and it's a chip of sobriety. Now, that sobriety story took place a long time ago. One, it's a compliment, but it's a commitment on my part. And so if I've had the impact and people who have found sobriety through that and believed in what I was doing, I can't afford ever to make light of that kind of thing. And that's my dedication to what I call my public, people who follow me.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. I can't imagine how that feels.
It's absolutely thrilling. To meet somebody, I went to a Football Hall of Fame installation in Canton, Ohio, and these big, humongous football players whose hands would grab my shoulder, which went all the way to the ground, and say, oh, you've got to meet my mother. You've got to meet my, this is the greatest day of my life. And they're being installed in the Hall of Fame. And I thought,
compared to meeting Mrs. Chancellor.
Yes, wild, crazy, And the mother would say, "Oh, this is more marvelous than what I'm here for. Their son is being installed in a Hall of Fame football."
That is.
Mrs. Chancellor. Yeah. So it's a. I have to laugh at it sometimes, but I take it, Gloria. I take it very seriously. I'm so indebted. I really am indebted to the people who who find that I'm some kind of a light in their life. Mm-hmm. And I try very much so to carry that wherever I go, not just on screen, but in my whole life.
That's awesome. Gloria, did you have a question that you want? I have another caller, but I want to see, Gloria, did you have a question you wanted to ask?
I do have a question, just really, really quickly, because I talk really fast. I love the title of your book. That's amazing. You're welcome. And I like when you said about, you know, picking yourself up. I had a professor that used to tell us, there's nothing wrong with falling down. You're going to fall. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have failures. Just don't make
mistakes. Yes.
You know.
You have to, Gloria. I mean, my goodness. My goodness.
Absolutely.
I mean, success is only based on past failures.
Well, yeah, like, what's his name? Edison. He found out, I think, 1,000 ways or 900 ways how not to make a light bulb. So.
Yeah.
My question is to you, to Ms. Cooper, is that at that time, or during the time of your plastic surgery, it wasn't really popular then like it is today. What made
Well, I opened that up again. I made it okay for women to go and have their nose or their eyes or something done, to do a little pickup, so at 50 they didn't look like they were 90. No big deal. What I did was omit fear. I took fear away from the average person, just not movie stars and celebrities can have the nips and the tucks. Everybody can, if that so pleases you. If you're 50 and you want to look 21, that's the wrong doctor. You got to go to a shrink for that. But when you just want to clean yourself up, and there's nothing wrong with that, not a darn thing wrong with that. But I opened that up, and I can't tell you the letters I received from doctors have said, "My God, thank you. I don't know what happened. Somebody keeps talking about a show you did. But whatever, thank you very much." But the thing that I'm most proud of out of all of that are the people who got enough courage to go and have reconstructive surgery, taking care of muscles or jaws or something that mm-hmm. they would have let hold them back in life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that to me, Gloria, was such a thrill. I can't tell you. It opened it up and said, hey. And I guess whatever I did, I don't know. And I don't really want to know. If it just happens, it happens. If I take the fear away, because basically with all of us, just like I was telling T, you can't have it all.
Right.
You can't have it all. I mean, it just makes good lyrics. But by God, you can have 99%.
There you have it. There you have it. Well, Gloria, thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You go ahead and be master of your own ship, and do not let fear. Fear is the only thing that keeps you from doing anything. Get rid of it.
That's true. Yes, ma'am. I will definitely work on it because I do have some issues that definitely have me stuck right now. So thank you for those encouraging words. I appreciate it.
God bless.
Great show.
Thank you for watching, honey.
Okay. Bye.
Hey, we got Gloria. Gloria's a good one.
And wasn't she a book?
Yeah, we got her. She's a good one.
We were trying to get you for so long. But, okay. That was awesome. That was great. I love that you said that about fear. People do get really stuck and hell-bent on the fact that they're afraid of the unknown and won't go anywhere because of that. But
you think of yourself and where you're at now. Okay, let's go back. Let's take you 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Think about some of the things that you said, I could do this. Well, maybe not. Maybe I shouldn't. I should be able to say for you this way, what have you. That you have a little bit of fear. And the only way that you overcame that is like failure breeds success, you know. So you get rid of your fear and you say, what the hell, I give it a shot. And if somebody buys it, I'm in like Flynn. And if they don't, I'll just have to approach it another way.
And that's completely true. And it's part of, I think sometimes getting past that hump is definitely part of the process.
Yeah.
Like you said, even for Tangible Live on books, you know, to be speaking right now to Gene Cooper, 3 years ago, you could have never. No, that wouldn't happen. Could I really? Maybe.
Right. You got it. Oh, you got it. Absolutely. I'm talking about what? What? People write books. Who am I? I'm an actress. I don't write books.
And
someone said, I'll make it easy. You know, and Lindsay Harrison said, I'll make it easy for you. Just sit down, record it, and I'll put it together.
And you, the two of you have definitely done a great job. Now, you mentioned with the alcoholism, you know, how you struggled through that. Now, how was it the fact that you and Catherine both struggled? Were you guys parallel, or did she
I never drank because, I didn't like the taste of it. And anybody who says they just love the first taste of scotch and whiskey, they're crazy. It's the effect that they like. It's like smoking. Did you really like it? Well, I was choked to death, but after I got used to it, you know.
But I think we have a Danny on the line. We have another caller for you.
Okay.
Danny, are you with us? Welcome to the Kicker Spot. You're on with T'Angelo and Gene Cooper. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Great.
Hello.
Do you have a question for Gene Cooper?
Oh, yes, I have several. How are you, Mrs. C?
I am fine, my darling. Thank you very much.
Okay, great. I've been trying to get through for so long. Along with Douglas and all those others, and I always get disconnected or something that would happen. So I'm very pleased to be able to get to speak to you.
Well, we're happy you got through to us. We had trouble at first with anybody. Welcome aboard.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, go ahead, Dan. What's your first question?
Well, what's going on? Is Mrs. C going to have Alzheimer's or not?
Oh, my gosh. I've got to tell you.
He's going right in for the storyline.
He really is. He's going for the kill, isn't
everybody,
he?
Everybody's dying to know. You know, everybody's just going crazy all over the Internet.
Oh, my dear, the studio is so flooded with that, I cannot tell you. I mean, you're inundated. If she has Alzheimer's, I'm never watching that show again. if she has that, how dare you? You know, Nikki has MS. Why should I have Alzheimer's?
Right.
Sweetheart, you're going to be so pleasantly surprised. You really will. It leads into fun. But I'll tell you a story, and I don't think the studio would mind if I... T'Angelo deserves this. This is sort of a first, right? There we go. I had the flu, and I just came back, and I was in my dressing room getting ready for makeup and hair. And the writer, Josh Griffith, who is our head writer and a brilliant writer, he was breaking a sweat, running down from upstairs into my dressing room. And he says, oh, God, I found you good. He said, now, listen, you read the script. I said, I said, well, now you know. And I said, Alzheimer's? Well, I'll tell you what, Josh. You can find some nice lady with a blonde wig, and she can play it. Now, that's as far as I'm going to go.
You guys heard it right
now
here on the Kicker Spot with Nate Cooper. Find the blonde wig.
Just because T'Angelo's having big electronic trouble getting through to people who are waiting. Would I tell you this? So it's for T'Angelo I'm doing this. But, darling, there's a lot of things that develop, and you really will enjoy it. And I have something else. I don't have that, but then I'm not going to tell you what that is because that's okay, too. But it ain't Alzheimer's, okay?
All right. Well, we're hoping if it is Alzheimer's, maybe it's Marge has come back from the dead.
Hey, you know what? What if this was Marge all the time?
That's
and nobody would. Maybe Marge was triplets.
Pardon me?
Maybe Marge was triplets. Marge is still alive and then so is Catherine. Who knows?
Wow.
Maybe it's Marge. that's going through all of this. Could you believe that?
Mm.
But I want to know one thing, though. If she goes through all of this, where in the world is Murphy, her husband?
that's what everybody's wondering.
Murphy is off fishing. I mean, he's fishing in some ice hole in Minnesota, doing something. Honey, if you find him, tell him we've wondered where he's at also.
I think
he's the one who's got Alzheimer's. But you'll see him in a few segments that it will tie in. I think we're about 5 weeks ahead, 6 weeks, 5 weeks ahead. So.
And Danny, you have another question.
What?
Oh, okay. Danny had another question.
Yes.
Can you give one more in?
I was also wondering if you were aware that Brenda Dixon has a new book out.
No.
Yeah.
Brenda? You're kidding. When did this come out?
It's supposed to be due out any time, like
March.
But sure enough, she has a new one out.
Well, you coming out?
Listen, I love Brenda. I really do. As I said in my book, she was fighting him. You know, Brenda had depression for a while and that sort of thing, and there were certain actions taken. My kids said when they were little, when I started the show, when they were in their teens, a couple of them, and one just, 10 or so, Brenda would be across the street and yell, "Hello, Corbin," or "Colin," or "Karen." They adore her. I adore her. Misgivings for many things. I think, don't I mention her and her wedding invitations in the book? I think I do. Yeah.
I think you do. I remember her name.
She called me and she said, "What will I do with these?" And I said, "Sell them for $5 a piece. You made a couple thousand dollars." Which she had no wedding, of course, as you know. But Brenda is a fighter. Brenda is what she thinks is right. Brenda has her own misgivings, as we all do. But her life became a mixture of political battle and, as shows will do oft times and characters will do oft times, who's the better of the two and blah, 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 blah. And that's all I'm going to say on that. I adore her, and I got news when she was in jail in Hawaii. I offered to try and get her out, and she wouldn't do it because she was fighting the old boys' club of a husband taking her condo and everything else. And over there, it's a whole different canopy than it is here. Mm-hmm. So I'm buying her 100% because she never did a thing to hurt me. She never did a thing to lie to me. And we did wonderful scenes together. So I have a love for Brenda, and I don't know what she's going to say in this book. I hope she just tells the interesting side of her being an iron fist and things like that, and the good things, because there's so many good stories to tell that are fun, funky, and sad. I lie and you cry at the same time.
Right.
And I hope that's what it's about. I hope it's not blasting people. As you know, in my book, I don't do that. I'm not out to say, God, I've been to bed with this one, that one, so and so forth. What, please, that's not who I'm about. I'm not that. I have a life. I told you my life. I told you a story, and I was hoping that it would be like we're sitting in your living room and talking. And I think that's what the book accomplished. It was on the bestseller list, New York bestseller list, for such a long time. And they had to reissue. And the paperback will be out in April sometime. I think they had to delay that because everybody wanted hardcovers.
But, Danny, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Kentucky.
Okay. Well,
where?
Thank you, Danny, for...
Where is he calling from?
From Kentucky.
I'm calling from Western Kentucky, way out in the boonies.
Kentucky. My grandmother was born in Kentucky.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, they made the covered wagon there and brought it across country. Oh, how nice talking to you, my friend. How very nice talking to you. And
well,
thank you for telling me about Brenda.
It's been a pleasure.
God bless you. Go with God.
We're gonna take one more caller, and I'm gonna let Miss Cooper call tonight. But we have Lisa from New Jersey on the line. Lisa, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hi, T. Hi, Jeannie. What a pleasure it is to speak with you.
I have a dear friend in New Jersey, Diane Roby.
Wonderful.
Okay,
New Jersey. What part of New Jersey, Jeannie?
She's northern part. Darn. Honey, you're asking me something I don't know.
I'm in New Jersey as well.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm in
there's
Florida.
A lot of people in New Jersey. I know that. But you sound like her.
Oh, that's so funny. But I've been a fan for years, Jeannie. I remember being a teenager in the 70s, starting to watch Young and the Restless.
Oh, my God, really?
And so 50 years, I'm 50 years old now, and I'm still watching it.
But see, there I am. I'm part of your life.
It is.
Yeah,
you
we've shared each
it
other's
is
lives.
It's awesome.
Isn't that amazing?
Awesome.
You know, it's
it
like
really
you were,
is.
Well, it's like being family.
Yeah, definitely. For a long time, my mom watched soaps. My grandmother had me as a little child watching them.
That's it. Sit
and,
down and be quiet and listen to the problem.
Yeah, my story's on. You got to be
my
quiet.
My story, yes. And
yes,
God forbid
so
anybody call or disturb her during that. Oh, that's funny. Oh,
it really
gosh.
Is. And my brother in North Carolina, you have to hear this story really quick.
Okay.
Went to Los Angeles to visit a friend, goes to the gym, and he sees Brighton James.
Oh, my God.
Know, yes, right in the gym. So he calls him by his stage name. I wanted to die when he told me the story. Sends me a picture. They were playing basketball together, which was hysterical. But,
family.
So this was, really
yes, family.
Cool. But Jeannie, I have yet to buy your book. I am so looking forward to getting it. And I hear wonderful things about it, and I'm so excited,
I'll tell you, it's very easy reading, and it's like you and I are having a conversation. You know, I'm not telling this and telling that, blah, blah, blah. It's not a textbook about soap operas at all. I mentioned some of your favorites, what have you, I'm sure, but mostly it's my life and, how I overcame certain things and... no big deal. Of course, they have big deals. I let it go slightly because at 84, you don't take anything too serious anymore.
Yes, I just give you so much credit for keep going and doing such an awesome job. It's so encouraging, you know, to see that you just keep going and the storylines are awesome. They keep surprising us, and
that's what they try to do, and especially with Catherine. You know, Catherine being extremely rich but definite woman of saying, you know, you stand up for yourself. You know, you have to have a little bit of an iron push. You can't fall back. You take two steps back, you know, for every step you go forward, don't take two backwards. And, this implies it in terms of whether it's alcoholism or whether it's you'd like to look like you were 22 again or somebody is not, you know, stand up on your own two feet. It's all right. Nothing's going to happen. If somebody hits you, then you pick up a 2x4 and knock the sucker out. You do it. You know, stand up. It's called, no, you may not talk to me that way. You may not treat me this way. You know why? Because one thing we all are, we're all human beings. You know,
exactly.
Elephants don't want to be giraffes. Giraffes don't want to be zebras. We're Homo sapiens. We're all human beings. We all basically have the same traits as children. We learn to crawl and toddle, and then we all learn and we develop the same. And the point of it is when you've been bullied to a point, poverty will do a hell of a job knocking someone to the ground. But then you have to learn how to try. And there's everything available. There's so much available that the government hasn't even let you know is available to you when you don't have money other than I need a job and unemployment. You explore every avenue and you win every time. You win every time. You just don't
That's
go
awesome,
backwards.
Geez.
You say, this I can do. I can do this. I can do this. This is doable. And
I love it.
Because, you know, I'm a depression baby, sweetheart. I'm a depression baby. And I want to tell you, 10 cents looked like a $100 bill today. And
that's what my dad tells me. He's 86. He tells me the same thing.
Well, and darling, you know what? It's true. It really
yeah.
is true. I don't say it lightly. And that's what I think I'm trying to push through with Catherine. She's very, very rich. But then she marries somebody like Murphy. You know, so
what
is the poll of opinion there? You marry with heart. You marry with soul. This whole thing of... There's a marvelous thing in Susie Orman, who is listened to her a lot and also sometimes try and catch her. It's try and live a little below your means. And you don't buy it, you don't go in debt for what you want,
mm-hmm.
but what you need. You only do what you need. And that way you'll get yourself in a better set of circumstances to go ahead. I mean, I swear to God, I used to go shopping and I know I won one pair of shoes. I walked out with six pair of shoes. I did, and it's a big, horrible habit. And I said, what in the hell am I talking? Why do I need six pair of shoes, the same shoe in every color? I would, if I'd have bought them in different styles, yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
So, and I said, this is a total waste of money. A total waste of money. So I gave it to the, you know, wildlife fund or something else, and I buy what I need even to this day. There's toys and things that some of the kids, they start making the first buck in their life. They run out and they just spend. Well, only they know. Somebody who is not into that says, you know, gee, they just wrecked their Ferrari. You know, and you say, oh, my Ferrari.
Uh-oh.
Nobody, if you care what other people think, if I had a 1901 Mary Oldsmobile when my kids were in grammar school, I mean, I would drive to school to pick them up in the Mary Oldsmobile in a tiller stick. Now, I had a Cadillac, what have you, and my husband, which in the book explains why I divorced him. But I loved that Mary Oldsmobile, and I would go to pick the kids up. I want to tell you something. I could have been a bus driver for Beverly Hills School System at Hawthorne. Every kid in the school wanted to ride home. And, of course, you know. So it shows, it isn't the display. Hollywood is image.
Right.
The world right now, darling, is image. You know that. So
oh,
the
absolutely.
Best image that you can have is know that you're being honest with yourself. And you will find that circle. And people, if you have to be an image for them, you do not need them in your life.
No,
now, if you have a job
so
and says you've got to dress and do things a certain way, what have you, that's what you do. But that's for a job. But the rest of the thing, if you have to look a certain way for them, they're not your friends. They're not your friends.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
brilliant.
I personally would like my
great
friends
advice.
To make sure they take
great
a bath
advice.
Here. What?
I said that's great advice, Jeannie.
Just go to the mirror. Look at you. Okay, I'll give you something I want you to do.
Okay.
You go to the mirror every morning or night
uh-huh.
or whenever. You look in the mirror and sometimes you want to cover your eyes because you can't stand what you see because you're seeing
right.
all of your faults. you stand there and look and say, I love you. I love you. I love you until there is one thing that you're going to like about yourself. And you'll stop thinking about all the other things that you're falling short of. And you look at yourself and you fall in love with yourself. And all of a sudden, people gravitate to you because you exude that. You make them look for the best in themselves because they're saying, God, she's got spirit. God, she goes steadfast. You do that. You fall in love with yourself all over again. You probably love yourself to a certain extent now, but you can always love yourself more because there's more to you every day you live one day longer. You do that.
Yeah. Oh,
and you
talk
to Angela and let him know if it worked.
That's beautiful advice, Dee Dee. I really feel honored to hear this from you. And I'm going to keep watching The Young and the Restless. And,
we have some
you know, just
stuff.
Enjoying watching you. It's a real pleasure to speak with you because, it's you know, you've been on the show a long time. You've written a book.
Years.
You've raised a family.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just awesome.
Yeah, and the kids are all successful. It didn't hurt them.
Absolutely.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for calling in. We totally
thank
appreciate
you,
the call. You are
God
most
bless.
Welcome.
Thank
and
you, Jeannie. God bless you as well, and T also.
Well, thank you again. So,
okay, good talking to you both.
Okay.
You have
thank
a good
you,
night.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
So, Jeannie,
you
have a
some nice people, T'Angelo.
These people are beautiful. You
yeah.
are attracting some beautiful people here. We're all the way in New Jersey. We reached New Jersey tonight.
Yeah.
So I have one more person who hit up online. It's one of your fans from Compton, California. Her name is Anne.
Uh-huh.
And Anne presented a question of, will you be leaving Young and the Restless anytime soon? Because it seems that John recently has.
No.
You're not going anywhere.
No, sweetheart. I have no intention whatsoever at this point in my life. I'm too old to be a pole dancer. unless I start a senior home and just have a chat room where we talk about what things we used to do.
So you thought about it, I see. You're giving it some thought.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
No, darling, I will stay. I will stay with the show at 84. Where in the hell would I go? Oh, I could go to Compton and say hello.
You would be, I'm sure with all your fine fans, Anne would be a beautiful woman. I'm so sure.
Pole dancing.
Well,
that's it, T. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do.
Hollywood Boulevard, here we come.
Yeah, you got it.
Well,
oh,
Jean,
God.
This has been an amazing evening. I am truly grateful and so appreciative for this interview. You are as beautiful in person as you are on screen.
Hey, thank you, pal. So nice talking to you. You've got a lot of heart. You've done a good road trip. You can tell that in your voice, T. You really have. And
thank you very much.
It tells.
I live life to the fullest and enjoy the ride.
Good boy. Good, my darling. And that's exactly what you do. Step out of the box. Take a chance. You know? And just be kind.
Definitely.
Just be kind.
Well, thank you so much, Jean Cooper, a.k.a. Catherine Chancellor.
Well,
until
my darling,
next.
It's been such a pleasure. Thank you for letting me talk to you and get through your network of friends. And I'm going to go out and buy a new switchblade tomorrow and has on, off, and on hold.
Oh, and I was, you know what? We have, okay, can we cue up the music that I wanted to play for Mrs. Cooper before we go? I have this one little song that I think that you will just know forever and always. Can we cue up the music? Do I have it ready? This is a perfect way. I was supposed to open your show with this piece of music, and this is how I always remember Young and the Restless. I always remember this because me and my sibling used to fight over who was going to play which piano key.
Oh, my God.
And we have it right here. Do we have the music cleaned up? Can we play the music, you guys? If we have it, go ahead. I think they're trying to scrounge to get it for me. I didn't give them much notice. I'm so random.
What the hell is he talking about?
I'm so random, my staff. I know they have the hardest time to keep up with me for some time.
Hey, listen. It teaches them to think fast and be prepared.
Here it goes.
Yes.
Yes.
And there we are.
Young and the Restless.
That's Young and the Restless. You're going to be 40 years old in 2 days. 40 years we've been on.
That is amazing. You guys are like forever. And Young and the Restless. And I love the theme music. As a kid, that's how I knew.
Oh, yeah. Now, here's another one. Janice Lynn used to sing it. Picture paints a thousand words. Do you remember that? Do you remember hearing that? Okay, you get that. And I guarantee you will play it along with your other music. I mean, at your own risk, at your own time, at your own home. You wouldn't do it to your internet fans.
I'll have to pull it up because Gene Cooper said so.
Please, darling, do it. I swear to God, you'll love it. You'll love it. You really will. And,
okay, Gene, we could do this all night. I can tell
you. I love you.
We
got to say goodnight. I know that.
We're here at the Kicking Spot, and we've had a blast with Gene Cooper here at Tiangelo Live on books. You guys, you have to get the book. You have to go to TiangeloLive.com, order the book. And, Gene, go ahead and give a farewell to everyone.
God bless everyone, and I got to thank T for letting me expound what I think and feel through his network. Downloading, uploading, or sideloading, I don't care. Switch is on. So I'm now going to turn the switch off and thank him from the bottom of my heart. And I truly do. What a lovely evening I've spent with you, Tiangelo. Thank you.
Until next time, you guys, be sure to check out Gene Cooper's recent book, Not Young, Still Restless. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back, you guys, after this.
Celebrate Entrepreneur's Biggest Night live from West Hollywood, California. The 2013 EOTM Awards, Sunday, August 4th at the beautiful Pacific Design Center. Red carpet and celebrity-studded awards show highlighting all things entrepreneurship. Nominees and presenters scheduled to attend: Bruce Valanche, Thara Abraham, Tammy Roman, Jake Short, Carlin Jeffrey, Adam Barter, Matt Martin, Eric Zuli, Latoya Luckett, Jasmine Brand, Christian Keys, Mary Marrow, Vincent Ward, Josh Feldman, Cece Perkinson, Cynthia Manley, Vaughn, Chili Moe, Mimi Foss, Donley Heising, Jared Masters, Macy Bookout, Barbara Niven, and many more to be confirmed. Performances by Billy Lord, Adam Barter, Chioki Damachi, Leon, Ron Anthony with Don Cannon, and more. Win tickets by tweeting hashtag EOTM Awards, hashtag Think Entrepreneurship. Visit www.eotmawards.com, www.eotmawards.com for more info.
With you here, we're both here. now there's no such thing as you and me. I was so used to feeling incomplete. Ever wondering if it's just evolution? We're just getting better. When the two become one on a quantum level.
Everybody, I'm your host, T'Angelo, and you are listening to the best of the Kicker Spot. So tonight, put that down. Veronica, stop it. You're distracting me. I'm on the air right now. No, it's just distracting. That's all I'm saying. Just chill out for a minute. Can you please? Thanks. All right. I'm back. Hi. You guys, can you please be sure to head over to T'Angelo.com and sign up for the email list? You want to be a part of email blast, I mean. Just click the green button there, sign up, and you will be underway. And then for all your book buying needs, you can head over to TiangeloLive.com. Well, until next time, you guys, please remember to live life to the fullest. Just live. And I'm your host, T'Angelo.
Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping lives for a better tomorrow.